This dynamic message is brought to you by New Creation Church, San Antonio.
So today we are continuing with our series, and we are actually going to finish it today. And the title of our series is The Promises of God, and this is part five. And part five is titled God's Promises for Life's Challenges. All right, so that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at the promises of God in relation to life's challenges, the things that we struggle with in life too often. And so one of the things that I did in my research, in my preparation, is go and look at the top five things that most people struggle with, especially believers. What are the top five things that people have a struggle with that is too often a struggle for humanity? And so here are the five things, and I'm going to put them on the screen, and then I'm going to discuss each one briefly, and then we're going to look at God's promises for each one and see what God says about them so that we can grab onto that promise, hold onto that promise, and realize that we have a promise to help us overcome those very areas in life. See if you can relate to any of these. I guarantee you, you're going to be able to relate to at least three of them, if not all five of them, okay? So here are the five major areas of struggle for most. Number one, mental and emotional struggles. And I'm sure you agree with me. Yeah, I agree with that. Too often, things in my head, you know, just I can't get them out of my head. They bother me. It's there. Or sometimes I just struggle to deal with my emotions because sometimes people make me so angry or situations just upset me so much that are out of my control. Well, you see, the mental and emotional struggles talk about the struggle to maintain good and balanced emotional mental health in the midst of life's challenges. I'm talking about things like anxiety, depression, fear, loneliness, stress, self-worth issues, trauma that we have to deal with. And I'm sure you agree, yep, we do deal with those. The second major area that most people struggle with, especially believers, is relationship struggles. Wouldn't you agree? What are we talking about? The struggle to build and maintain healthy and meaningful relationships in a world that often is marked by misunderstanding and division. How often do you say something, do something, and someone takes it the wrong way and it becomes an issue when that's not what you meant at all? Isn't that so? We're talking about conflicts in marriage and relationships, family issues, broken relationships, workplace disputes and issues, betrayal, lack of community, just finding it hard to make friends and just be friendly with people. And then the third major area of struggle for most is financial and material struggles. Most of us do what we do every day because we need to earn a living. We need to provide for the family. But even that becomes a struggle because there's certain things that we want that we're just not able to get for ourselves because there are other financial priorities. We're talking about the struggle to manage one's resources wisely and finding contentment in the midst of financial pressure and material desires. You know, how often do people face poverty? With some people you don't even know, but they struggle with poverty. What about debt, job insecurity, economic inequality, greed, lack of resources? Those are the things that are all included in that. And then the fourth major area of struggle for most is physical and health struggles. And the older we seem to get, the more obvious these things seem to become at times. You know, this is the struggle to overcome and cope with physical limitations while striving for well-being and a healthy, balanced lifestyle. We're talking about illness, aging, chronic pain, disabilities, unhealthy habits, addictions, and so forth. Those are areas that most people struggle with, the fourth major area. And then the fifth major area that people struggle with is spiritual and moral struggles. That's the struggle to find meaning and aligning with our moral and spiritual convictions while seeking to grow closer to God in the midst of a fallen and broken world. We're talking about doubting faith, doubting about faith, temptation, guilt, purpose, dealing with sin, and having a lack of direction, right? And so I'm sure out of that list, you can relate to at least three of those. I know that me personally, I can relate to all five of them. And that's why those are the top major areas of struggle for most people. So having said that, those are the areas then where we need to be grounded in the promises of God, where we need to find the very promises of God, grab onto them, make them our own, internalize them, and no matter what happens, live by them. Amen. And we've discussed all of those things in the series. So today I just want to solely just focus on those five areas and give us just, sadly, I can only give you two references for each of those. There's a whole lot more, I assure you. But because of time, we can only share two with you. And so it's going to be on the screen. It's going to be on the audio. So you can write it down after the fact. You can go back and look at them and get them. Right now, I want you to just capture these wonderful promises and these truths more than anything. Amen. Make them your own because they are for you. These are promises that God made for you. So when you face any of those struggles, or as you're facing those struggles, you can hold on to the promise of God and live by the promise of God, because that's why He gave us those promises. Amen. All right, so let's have a look at God's promises for these five areas of struggle, beginning with number one. Remember what number one was? Is mental and emotional struggles. What are God's promises for that? What does God say about that? He says a lot about every single one of them. But like I said, today I can only share two for each area with you. And so let's talk about mental and emotional struggles. Let's see what God says, what He promised us in regards to that. Psalm 34, verse 17 and 18. Today we're reading from the New King James, okay? So here it comes. What does God say about mental and emotional struggles? When we are struggling with our mental health, with emotional health, this is what He says. The righteous cry out. Now you may already disqualify yourself and say, well, I'm not righteous. Well, that just means that you don't fully understand the righteousness that you have in Jesus. Because in Jesus, you have been made right with God. If you could achieve righteousness by yourself, you wouldn't need Jesus. It's because you couldn't that God gave Jesus. Amen. And so this applies to you because you are righteous in Jesus. It says, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears. Notice He doesn't hear if He feels like it, if you are being performing good enough or anything like that. No, He says, you cry out and God hears you and delivers them. Look at that powerful word, out of some of their troubles. Is that what it says? No, it says out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart. Doesn't that deal with emotional, mental struggles? The Lord is near those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Another word for contrite is crushed, a crushed spirit. Have you ever felt crushed by circumstances? Have you ever felt like things are just so overwhelming that it feels like it's crushing you? Or someone broke your heart so bad that you feel crushed on the inside? Well, that deals with your mental health. It deals with your emotional health. And here God makes powerful promises. And He says, number one, I'm going to deliver you out of every single trouble that affects your mental health and your emotional health. And then He says, just to be sure, if your heart is broken, I will be near you and I will help you heal. And then He says, if your spirit is being crushed, he says, I'm going to save you. I'm going to deliver you. Isn't that powerful? Those are promises from God to do with our mental and emotional well-being. So God promises to hear us. He promises to deliver us. And he promises to comfort us, especially when we are heartbroken and crushed in spirit. So is he interested in your mental health? He sure is. Is he interested in your emotional health? Of course he is. What parent isn't? And God is way more than that. Amen. So we have these powerful promises right there. Here's another wonderful promise about mental and emotional, when we face mental and emotional struggles. Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Look at this one. Pay attention to the words or phrases I've emboldened. It says, be anxious for nothing. In other words, don't let anxiety have its way with you. You can prevent anxiety from harassing you. He says, but in everything. Notice, in everything, not for everything. Not everything that happens is God's doing. I know some people say, well, God must be letting this happen because he's trying to teach me something. No, God doesn't tag team with evil or the devil or with badness. God is good. Amen. That's why he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, not for everything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication. In other words, by exercising what you believe and trusting God, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, notice, not world peace or an organization's peace or some guru that, you know, gives you a little pep talks peace. No, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding. In other words, don't try and figure it out. It's going to be godly peace. Will guard, here it comes, your hearts and minds. Doesn't that deal with your mental health and your emotional health? He says, in your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. In other words, based on what God did through Jesus is how he takes care of you mentally and emotionally. Not based on your merit, your performance, whether you've earned or deserved it. That's why it's called grace. Amen. But you can see from this that God promises us his peace. And he says it will guard your heart and your mind in the midst of every situation. So let's have a look at the second area of struggle. The second major area of struggle is relationship struggles. Amen. Let's see what God promises about dealing with relationship struggles. I know that some of you have broken relationships that have been broken for years. And maybe the person or the people haven't even been in touch with you for a long, long time. Let me tell you something. God will heal every single relationship. You know, we may have relationships that we think they are impossible to mend. God can do all things because we have his promises. Amen. So here's the verse, Proverbs 16, verse 7. Watch this. When a man's ways, now you know that can also be a woman's ways. It's talking about a believer's ways. When a man's ways please the Lord, he, talking about God, makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. In other words, our focus needs to be on trusting God, on him and him alone. And as a result, he will make even our worst of enemies to be at peace with us. Amen. That's a promise you have from God. So if for some reason you've had conflict in the workplace, if for some reason there's a family situation that just went awry, and you are thinking, how can God heal this? Well, don't worry about how. He can and he will. You just focus on him. You focus on being pleasing to him, and you will see that God will make even those who regard themselves as your enemy to be at peace with you. Praise God. It's another wonderful promise that we have from God. Amen. He promises to bring us peace even in the midst of conflict. Here's another one, Colossians 3, verse 13. Look at what it says. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as, look at that, Christ forgave you, so you also must do. So the way God forgives us in Jesus is the way we should forgive others as well. And bear with them, be patient with them, because we ourselves need patience from other people, right? But here's the powerful thing about this promise. God promises to empower us with the ability to forgive by empowering us with His forgiveness. Did you hear what I said? Listen to this carefully again. God promises here to empower us with the ability to forgive by empowering us with His forgiveness. In other words, if you understand how God forgave you, how God forgives you, then you will have no problem forgiving other people. So He empowers us with His forgiveness, which enables us to forgive others. Now let me ask you this question. How has God forgiven you? Well, according to Scripture, He's forgiven you completely and totally. Religion may say one other thing. Legalistic teaching may say another thing. But Scripture, God in His Word says that He's forgiven you for all of your sin. Through Jesus and the finished work of the cross, He has forgiven you for the entirety of your sin. Your past sin, your present sin, and even your future sin. Why? Because Jesus dealt with the whole aspect of sin and sinfulness. Amen. You know, religion will tell you, well, yes, you're forgiven for your past and present sin. But as far as your future sin, God's going to judge you for that still, so be careful. The truth is that He's not. He judged all your sin on the cross in Jesus. Now, you know, some people don't like me teaching that because they think, well, that's just giving people a license to sin. Well, if that's how you want to express your gratitude to God for forgiving you for all of your sin, knock yourself out. It just means that you need a little more heart surgery. But when we understand that we are forgiven for all of our sin, past, present, and future, because He died for our sin, not in a tense, but outside of the tense. Amen. He died for all of our sin. He dealt with the whole sin issue. Otherwise, what's the point of Jesus doing what He did? No, it's because we were forgiven for all of our sin. And when we understand just how forgiven we are, we're able to forgive others as well. Amen. God's not going to judge your sin twice. He judged it all at the cross in Jesus. Now, I know someone may be saying, well, what about the judgment seat of Christ? We'll teach on that too, and I have taught on that. That word judgment is not in Scripture. The translators added that. It's not the judgment seat of Christ. It's the bema, the bematos is the original word of Christ, which is basically a platform where He rewards. So God's going to reward us for the good things we've done. Yes, absolutely. But as far as judgment for our sin, that's already been dealt with. Amen. So when we understand that, we're able to forgive others and thus have and enjoy good relationships with them. So those are two portions that deal with relationships and promises from God that we have where He will restore our relationships. The third area of struggle for most, remember I said, is financial and material struggles. What are the promises of God about that? What can we hold on to so that we don't struggle like unbelievers struggle with financial and material struggles? Philippians 4 verse 19, look at this. He says, and my God shall supply all your need. Notice it doesn't say needs, it says all your need. In other words, the entirety of all that you would need for life. He will supply all your need. How does He supply? According to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. In other words, God promises here to supply all our need, not out of His riches, but according to His riches, and that by Jesus and the finished work of the cross. In other words, not by your merit and performance, but by what Jesus did for you. So he looks at Jesus to meet your needs. And how does Jesus qualify you? 110%, right? But notice he says that he will supply all your need according to his riches, not out of his riches. You know, if I was a billionaire and you had a $500 need and I gave you the $500, I'm giving you out of my riches. I'm meeting your need out of my riches, right? But if I was to bless you according to my riches, then I would probably give you $5 million. So you can pay the 500 and then have almost 5 million, 4 million something, to still enjoy further blessing and be abundantly provided for. You see, that's the difference here that we need to understand. God doesn't provide our need out of what he has. He provides our need according to what he has. In other words, he will provide abundantly and generously for us. Amen. And that's the promise that we need to hold on to when we face financial and material struggles. Now, if it's our doing, if we can't budget properly, if we keep spending what we shouldn't, then we need to trust God for the wisdom too to help us with that. And there is promises for that as well. Amen. Praise God. Here's another one. Psalm 37, verse 25. Watch what the psalmist writes here. And he says, I have been young and now I am old. In other words, I have lived a whole lifetime and I've seen things. And then watch what he says. Yet I have not seen the righteous, in other words, those who believe and trust God, forsaken, nor his descendants begging for bread. Notice that powerful promise that we see embedded within what the psalmist says there. This is that God will always take care of the righteous and he will always provide for them. He will always take care of us and he will never abandon us. That's a promise you and I have from God. And you know, us coming here to the United States, first Helena and I, and then having Gabby, let me tell you something. I see people here in San Antonio who have families that go generations down the line. They go all the way back to the Alamo, you know, to Mexico, to the north, you know, wherever they're from. And they have all these wonderful blessings of support and this and that. Well, the three of us don't necessarily have that, tangibly speaking. But I will tell you this much. God has never failed us. He has never seen us forsaken. And he has never had us begging for bread. He's always taken care of us. And he always will. Why? Because we believe his promise. Amen. And that's what he says he will do here as far as our financial and material struggles. So we need to hold on to those promises and believe him. Amen. When Elijah was hungry and there was no food around, what did God do? He sent ravens with food. He found ways. He brought an angel to provide food for him, for Jesus too, because God will take care of us. Amen. We just need to hold on to his promises. Praise God. All right, we better finish up here. The fourth area of struggle for most people is physical and health, physically and health-wise. And isn't that true? Especially as we get older, we find these creaks and these little, you know, hinges are turning a little tight or whatever. Well, let me tell you something. God's promises are ageless. God's promises are true, yesterday, today, and forever. And we need to hold on to them. Amen. He has a wonderful promise that God makes in Exodus 15, the last part of verse 26. Look at this. He says, for I am. Notice, isn't it wonderful? He says, I am. Not I was, not I will be. He says, but I am. That's talking about the perfect tense. And he says, for I am the Lord who heals you. Notice again, present and also perfect tense. He says, I am the one who heals you. And he's talking about physical healing. He's talking about health and wholeness. And he says, I am the one who's your healer. So he promises to be our healer. Now, yes, do we trust doctors? Sure. Do we go to them and get their help? Sure. Absolutely. You know, sometimes they prescribe something and we got to take it. Fine. But understand, ultimately our trust and confidence is in God because he is our healer. We trust him to heal us ultimately. Amen. All right, so the last area of struggle is spiritual and moral struggles. Look at this promise from God, 1 Corinthians 10:13. Watch this. No temptation has overtaken you except such as is common to man, but God is faithful. Notice, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. In other words, when you face temptation, when you face moral struggles, when you face spiritual struggles, who do we trust for? God says he promises here that he will always provide us with the strength necessary to avoid sin and not giving to temptation by always giving us a way out. Notice he promises to help us in those hard times. Amen. So if you personally have a moral struggle, trust God to help you with it. Instead of you trying to do it with your strength, feeling guilty and pulling away from God, go towards him and trust him because he promises to help us. Amen. Here's another one here in Isaiah 41 verse 10. Look at this. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand, says God. Look at that. I'm with you. I'll strengthen you. I'll help you. I'll uphold you. This is a promise we have from God. He promises us to be ever present with us, to strengthen us, to help us and hold us up in the midst of spiritual and moral battles. Amen. So we can definitely count on him. But anyway, so there is some powerful promises that we can hold on to. What we've seen today, as we come to an ending, in every area of struggle we face, whether it's our mental or emotional health, whether it's our relationships, our financial and material struggles, or our physical and health struggles, or our spiritual and moral struggles, God's promises stand as a firm foundation ready for us to stand on and keep standing on. Amen. And that is so true. So by standing on God's promises, we can be at peace in the midst of chaos. We can find strength in the midst of weakness. We can find provision in the midst of lack, guidance in the midst of confusion, and healing in the midst of sickness, heartbrokenness, or disappointment. Amen. So no matter what the challenge, God's unchanging promises give us hope. They are the anchor for us in truth and assure us of his unchanging presence and power to see us through it all in Jesus' name. Amen.
We trust that you were blessed by today's message. For more information about our church, our service times and location, or to make a donation to help us spread the gospel of God's love and grace, please visit our website at newcreationchurchsa.com.